Remembering the Future, The Physics of the Soul and Time Travel, Chapter 7, Manifestation of the Future. O butterfly, distant flower desired, supped life's nectar without a single linear stroke of her painted wings. In this chapter, you're going to learn how to make the secret work for you. The noise of the third dimensional world, like Midtown Manhattan at 5:30 p.m., is loud and chaotic at times. You are going to learn how to listen to the universe, so you will know when to move, when to exert the force of your intention, when to make the call, and when to tap that moving target as its resonation comes back around to you. I know you don't think that it will move with such a tiny amount of force, but believe me when I tell you this. The right amount of energy applied at exactly the right moment in the golden mean at least 8 times in succession will move anything, even a mountain. I have watched 3-inch steel tubing whip like a soft spaghetti noodle with only 5 pounds of weight vibrating at precisely the right frequency in the center. A 200-pound man could jump all day and not make that beam move 1 inch. But a tiny little piston pressing down at the right frequency will produce vibrations with amplitude of more than 12 inches. First, you are going to be taught how and where to go in order to pick up these tiny timing signals from the universe. Then you will be taught how to exert your force upon the universe at the right time for the maximum effect. You will be in the zone where the abundance of the universe will overflow your cup with more than you can enjoy. You may have to share what you find there. The intention of a sentient being is the most powerful force in the universe. It is the creative force of all things. Time itself is the creation of sentience. The singularity that is the universe has no such thing as time. Sentient beings who are sovereign have realized that mortality is one of the finest methods by which awareness can be realized. Taste bud by taste bud, the biological transducer we call the human body has been designed and extensively engineered to savor every morsel of existence. A transducer is an instrument that converts inputs in one form to a common format for the operating system. For instance, extremely small differences in the amount of sodium chloride, table salt, can be differentiated through the chemical detectors located in the middle of the tongue. The color, in fact blends of colors, can be detected by the human eye. Both of these inputs are translated into electrical signals that are interpreted by the operating system of a supercomputer called the human brain. In the year 2013, the first computer was invented that could match the average human brain for computing power. In 2015, Irish scientists cracked the code for the human brain operating system and quaternary language was born and revealed to the world. The human brain is a lens through which the mind can view mortality. Boron-coated silicon chips, utilizing binary language, had reached the clock speed limit and were replaced with nanotech crystals capable of 4 switch states. The debate still rages over whether the ions used in the crystals for switches, called BITs or beryllium ion terminals, were actually individual particles and not the same bilocating particle. Computer security concerns were well founded. Clock speeds of bit processors could not be measured, as information seemed to process before it was even entered into the computer. Information collisions were described in the July 2016 issue of Wired magazine as being like tossing a baseball through a wormhole and having it return before you threw it. I know it sounds impossible, but those of you reading this book in the past will just have to wait and see that it is, in fact, true. Human beings have ego that, unlike the butterfly we talked about earlier, tries to draw a straight line between the present and the future. As I have already shown you, these straight lines are called future threads. They lack dimension and quality and vastly attenuate the amount of energy the universe can bring back to you from distant times. Learning to allow the universe and your life force to flow together is the antithesis of three dimensions, but it will feel quite natural when you are out of your body and into your heart. This chapter is vital for the future of the human race on Earth, and thus the entire galaxy, for you to learn how to manifest the future. The future unfolds like a world with no horizon, and not according to any teleological design. That is to say, there is no preset pattern by which the lives of humans unfold like a cosmologically digital recording. As in the movie Bedazzled, Elizabeth Hurley's devilish character granted wishes, but always withheld some vital part of the gift, so as to bring misery to Brandon Fraser. You have been handed the keys to the future, and it will be chosen by you as you see fit. Time is merely the rate at which we seem to behold the universe. In fact, the truth is that nothing, absolutely nothing, is fixed in the universe. There is a cartoon illustrating that our ability to choose success is empowered by our knowledge of the future. In the first frame, the character says, "I can remember that in the future I choose the soup, not the salad. So, I'll choose the salad instead." But that would mean that my memory of the future was wrong? Absolutely not. But human beings have the ability to comprehend alternate timelines. We are, by spiritual nature, not bound to three-dimensional time. It is only our mortal bodies that are locked into the linear flow of time. This is the reason minutes turn into hours, and days or even months turn into a few minutes when we consider them. When we're on vacation, the days go by like seconds. When we're at work, the last few minutes of the day can take hours. The only manageable segment of time is the moment. This is a snapshot of distance that can be considered by a human being. The culture of the Earth in the year 2010 was built around planning for the future of retirement and leisure. Those who could contribute to their 401k account retired on the golf course with new cars in the garage. Those who did not plan for the future retired in poverty on Social Security. Turning over one's sovereignty to the government is one of the main causes of destruction of the ability to manifest one's future. The responsibility for the life condition was abdicated through deception. People ended up working lives they hated for 30 or 40 years so they could retire in comfort. But they usually were in such poor health and had long since lost sight of their dream by the time they retired, that they could not have joy. They forced a future thread through the time cone and passed by the bounty the universe displayed all around them every microsecond of every day. This chapter will help you learn to listen for the bounty of the universe around you. It will teach you a method of preventing yourself from forcing a future thread through the cone of time. Instead, like the butterfly, you will fix your sight on the dream of the flower, and then beat your wings with proper timing, but no preconception of a particular path to the flower. The universe will not only support your wings, notwithstanding some turbulence for variety and experience, but will provide you rich supply all the days of your existence. The most important thing is that you will always be on your purpose. Without sacrifice and without letting the sun go down, without gratitude for every experience in your life. The variety and wonder of life will fill volumes of your journals, and the dream of retirement will drift away because you will never want to stop what you are doing. Like the Buddha described, once you place your foot onto the path, you are already at your destination. True motorcycle enthusiasts don't ride to get to a certain place. Simply letting out the clutch with the engine running is the destination. The greatest challenge in mortal life is to define one's dream. What do I want to be when I grow up? Is the hardest question in the universe to answer. This involves a healthy exercise. We must look far into the future without much information to go on. When we are young, it is particularly difficult. Or is it? We emulate positions like astronauts or firefighters when we're little boys, or actresses and flight attendants when we're little girls. What do you think it would be like to be able to stop any moment of any day and say, I am doing what I always wanted to do? This is known as being on purpose. In the cone of time, there is always an infinite number of choices we can make every microsecond. The curse perpetrated by religionists that we can never be perfect is wrong. Period. Perfection is merely a stage of completion. We can be and are perfect all the time. You are the perfect individual, receiving the sum total karma of your choices from all of your existences. Nothing but this result can occur. It is perfect, and you are perfect, just as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. So when we look at the dream flower, the nature of humans is to imagine being at the flower. Then we draw a step back, and then another, and then another, until we are standing at the present moment in time. This is called the But First list. I want to accomplish this, we say to ourselves, but first I must do this, and then I must do this, etc. Our training tells us that if we follow that path of but first breadcrumbs from the future, we will have no choice but to arrive at the flower. Ta-da! Retirement. This is the great deceptive marketing plan of mortal life. Because we have drawn our own future thread to the goal, and the universe, most likely, holds no resonant support for the thread. Therefore, the goal is prevented from being supported by the very intention you placed into the universe. Therefore, you are reaping only a fraction of the fulfillment you dreamt about. Aha! So the flower is not the dream after all. Like the sandcastle we mentioned in Figure 22 in the book, the process can be creative and artistic and can involve hours or days. Then it is finished. What do you do then? Walk away? Jump on it? Wait for the tide to come in and wash it away? The point is that the sandcastle is not the goal. It is the building of the sandcastle that is the goal. The joy comes from the building, not from the completion. The purpose of building was the dream. When you are on purpose, there is no need to finish the sandcastle, unless it happens to be a precursor to the larger dream. The action of building, while focused on the sandcastle, is the true dream. Now, what we have done holographically is to explain to you that we can move through time while focused on a target without drawing a future thread. The whole image is already there, but the resolution and rich details are filled in with more and more effort until it becomes solid in this third-dimensional reality. A future thread is the but first list that we might create when we consider a task or goal. The corporate world and the on-purpose world are compatible, believe it or not. The idea is to encapsulate or compartmentalize the worlds inside one another. So let's consider resonance from the universe. Remember the example of the sympathetic resonance using the guitar leaning against the wall? What we want to share with you is the ability to present your guitar to the universe so you can resonate with the bounty that is there for you. For now, we'll teach you about this in receive mode. Then we'll teach you about the send mode. With the understanding that there have been many thousands of books written on this subject by the year 2010, we seek not to compare this discovery to any of those penned by myriads of self-help gurus. This is the discovery of the use of intention to manifest the future. It is designed to work with the purpose of your heart. Although this training may not fill your bank account with millions of dollars, unless that is the path of resonance the universe will support for you, it will fill your life with the flow of joy that you imagined the money would bring you. You may have thought the $1 million would give security while not having to work a full-time job, the opportunity to meet really neat people, and to travel the world. But if you could travel the world, meet all kinds of really neat people, and have security without the $1 million, you've still reached your goal, haven't you? So why would you force the universe to give you $1 million when that may not be the method by which your true objectives can be met? Subtitle: How and Where to Listen. So here we go. Step by step, this is how and where to listen to the future. Masters trained and vetted over thousands of years have developed this method, but this is the first time it has ever been applied to resonance theory. You are about to learn how to listen to the energy you started with your dream intention. It has a particular feeling to it that you cannot recognize if you are wrapped up in your three-dimensional world. It's too noisy here. If you miss the signal, you won't know when to apply your energy, like the phone call to the job prospect, or the presentation to the investor, or the conversation with the lover of your dreams. The place is in your heart. So along with the master teachers from whom I have benefited, I will show you how to get there and do some looking around. Subtitle: Step 1, Getting in the Heart. The goal of the first step is to reach the heart. Being in the heart allows us to be aware of the universe and to tune our intention to the universe. Here is how that is done in writing. This usually takes more practice for men than it does women, but it can be achieved by everyone. The heart is a very unique organ, to be sure, but most people don't know that it actually contains some gray matter. That's right. The heart contains brain cells. This is a section of the heart that, if harmed during surgery, it may never be the same, and the patient may even die. The more remarkable realization is that human beings may actually have the ability to think with their hearts. Not all contemplation is done in the frontal lobe of the brain in the cerebral cortex. Neurological research has shown that even humans missing their cerebral cortex, and in fact most of their brains, can still think and wonder and function with genius. The hypothalamus and pineal glands are the subjects of volumes of speculation, but in pure thought, it is the heart where the singularity is accessed. The heart is the launching pad for your consciousness. You recall my launching patio on the red sun planet? You're going to find your place as well. So get ready. There is some preparation for getting in the heart. The Merkaba meditation is the most efficient method I have seen for enabling a person to reach his or her heart. I run 3 companies and have no time to waste sitting around in twisted shapes trying to reach an empty state of mind. The Merkaba is 17 breaths and takes less than 8 minutes to accomplish. With practice, the person may imagine being in the heart without going through the Merkaba meditation, but I highly recommend that you try the Merkaba meditation, also called the Flower of Life meditation, for at least 6 months before you decide to stop doing it. The website is floweroflife.org. As soon as you quit, in fact, as soon as you think about stopping, you will feel a difference in how you receive knowledge. The energy field generated by the Merkaba meditation may last as long as 48 hours, but daily meditation is far more successful at enabling this process. Here is how it works. There are 17 conscious breaths to reach this point. Using the audio CD, Merkaba 2, recorded by Maureen St. Germain, is the best way to master the timing. Her website is MaureenSt.Germain.com. MaureenSt.Germain.com. It's the Merkaba 2 CD. A point of fact you might enjoy. Whales only breathe consciously. They have been witnessed by my friend Joan Ocean, holding states of meditation that we can only dream about. There are some points that are critical that we will discuss in detail here. Subtitle: The Breaths and Mudras. The following numbered items are individual breaths in a sequence designed to prepare a physical body for conscious contact with the higher self or source. This includes finger and hand positions called mudras. These connect energy body circuits for the body and facilitate the flow of life force. The first mudra is accomplished by touching the tip of the index finger of each hand to the tip of the thumb, forming a ring. You close your eyes and you inhale through your nose fully. While doing this, imagine the sky tetrahedron around your body filled with light. The sky tetrahedron is the tetrahedron that points toward the sky. You're not filling it with light. It is already filled with light, marked by the solid lines at the edges of the tetrahedron as if they were strings pulled tight. You are sitting inside the tetrahedron. You keep your throat open as though you were about to blow out a candle. It takes about 3 seconds to visualize the tetrahedron shape. For men, the edge of the tetrahedron faces forward, parallel to the bridge of the nose. For women, the flat face of the tetrahedron faces forward with the bridge of the nose. Exhale through the nose all the way until the lungs are empty. Close the throat, not allowing any air to enter the lungs. Imagine the earth tetrahedron filled with light. This is the tetrahedron that points toward the ground. Observe that there are impurities like clumps of negativity in your life coalescing inside that tetrahedron. Open the eyes, slightly cross the eyes, and sweep them up and down, then close them again. This process is called the pulse. You'll hear this on the CD when you play it. It is widely accepted that the eyes are the main avenue for light to enter the body. In this respect, they are also like lasers pointing out to the universe. In this exercise, we are crossing the laser beams to form a wiper of sorts to clean away the negative energy that coalesces in the earth tetrahedron. If you try it, you will see that it works, and it keeps you from dropping through the hypnagogia into sleep. Hypnagogia is the state between sleepfulness and wakefulness. If you let yourself drift too far, you will fall asleep. It is designed to sweep the negativity out of the light. As soon as it is done, continue to breath two. Breath two. Move the thumb of each hand to the second finger and repeat the breathing cycle. Repeat the pulse. Breath three. Move the thumb of each hand to the ring finger and repeat the breathing cycle. Repeat the pulse. Breath four. Move the thumb of each hand to the little finger and repeat the breathing cycle. And repeat the pulse. Breath five. Move the thumb of each hand back to the index finger and repeat the breathing cycle. Repeat the pulse. Breath six. Move the thumb of each hand to the second finger and repeat the breathing cycle. And repeat the pulse. Breath seven. Move the thumb of each hand so that it touches the index finger and the second finger. While keeping the eyes shut, imagine a small laser pointer pinched between this finger union. Aim that imaginary light beam, like you were holding a laser pointer, coming from the spot where the fingers and the thumb meet directly at your third eye in the forehead. Repeat the breathing and repeat the pulse one last time. Breath 8. Keeping the same finger position while imagining holding the laser beams aimed right at your third eye, except we are no longer clearing the negativity from the earth tetrahedron. Now, we want you to imagine the prana. This is the life-sustaining force. It's a tube that runs along the human spine with an opening at the top and bottom. The tube is open to the sky and the earth. We want you to imagine drawing energy into your body through this tube from both directions. This energy will collect in your body just behind the belly button. With this breath, it will form a light crystal the size of a baseball behind your navel. Now exhale. Keeping the same finger position, remember to breathe deeply and exhale completely and consciously. Okay, the spirit is beginning to expand away from the physical body. So concentration is required here, or you will drift away and forget to breathe correctly. Keep gathering energy through the prana tube. With this breath, the ball of light is the size of a basketball. It is gaining light and is the color of a harvest moon. Exhale. Breath 10. Keep the same finger position. When the breath is completely taken in, hold the breath slightly, building pressure. The ball of light is now the color of the sun and very bright. With great intention and power, force the breath out like you're trying to blow out a candle 5 feet away. Imagine the ball of light instantly blowing up to a diameter of about 6 feet with a small round crystal light in the center. They are bright and spinning. The direction is not important at this time, only that they are not spinning at the same rate or that the smaller crystal is barely revolving. And the larger sphere is revolving at high speed. They're not stable yet. So you may have a sensation of wobbling while you're sitting. In fact, someone observing you in this state of meditation will notice a slight wobble if you're in the seated position. Breath 11. Keep the same finger position. Real concentration is required here so you won't drift away too soon. This breath is deep and conscious, in and out through the nose, using the same amount of time for both. During this breath, the stability of the spheres is the goal. Try to synchronize the revolutions so the spheres do not wobble. The spheres are concentric, that is to say, they are exactly surrounding one another. All you have to do is imagine the crystal spheres stabilizing. They will do this naturally. but there will be a strong temptation to drift into sleep. Breath 12. Keep the same finger position and use the same breathing technique. Maintain your concentration, as it does take 3 full breaths for this process to complete. During this breath, the stability of the spheres is the goal. Try to synchronize the revolutions so the spheres do not wobble. Breath 13. Keep the same finger position. The breath is still deep and conscious. During this breath, the stability of the spheres is the goal. Try to synchronize the revolutions so the spheres do not wobble. Breath 14. Now, imagine moving the center of the spheres from the belly to your heart. Imagine moving the stable and bright spheres to center on your heart, just left of the center of your chest. Change the hand positions so that the hands are flattened. The male will rest the back of his left hand in the palm of his right hand with the first knuckle in behind the first knuckle of the other hand. Females will rest their hands in the opposite configuration. Extend the thumbs and touch them, forming a triangle in front of the hands, palm up, pointing away from the body. The breaths become shallow here. Stay here as long as you like, but we must keep moving along with the instruction. Tell yourself that you want to be in your heart. Imagine traveling from the pineal gland just above the roof of the mouth, down the trachea, to a point just to the right of your heart. Consciously move to the left, through the muscle, and directly into your heart. You will notice a void there. It should feel like a point between two vortices. Consciously, in your mind, say the words, "Let there be light." Breath 15. Your hands will remain in this mudra position for the rest of the meditation. Take a deep breath in through the nose, but do not close the throat. Imagine the other two star tetrahedron fields that are not fixed. One is going to start rotating in the counterclockwise or female direction. The other is going to rotate in the clockwise or male direction. Just get them spinning. These are complete star tetrahedrons and not the individual tetrahedrons, sky and earth, like we've been discussing so far. The sky and earth tetrahedrons are locked together as a set. Exhale with a forced breath, as before. This act is like using the force of your intended breath to make the star tetrahedron spin the way you want them to spin. Breath 16. Inhale completely and bring the two star tetrahedrons to the 9/10 the speed of light in a ratio of 34 to the left and 21 to the right. This is the Fibonacci sequence of increase. Note that 34 divided by 21 is 1.619, which is very close to phi, 1.618. This ratio is the resonant ratio of increase, known as the golden mean. All you have to do is say it to yourself, 34 to the left and 21 to the right, and it will be so. Exhale with a forced breath, as though you are trying to blow out a candle a few feet away. Breath 17. Inhale completely through the nose and spin the star tetrahedrons at the speed of light, with that ratio in mind. You don't have to overthink this. They will assume that ratio if you command them to do so. Exhale with a forced breath as before. Your Merkaba is now set in motion and will remain in place for 48 hours. Continue to meditate as long as you need from here, with your breathing more shallow and regular. Your Merkaba is now activated, and you are thinking in your heart. Subtitle, Step 2, Learning to Intend with Intention. Now that your Merkaba has been activated and you know how to get into your own heart, we can work on sending and receiving from the higher being within you. The human body is a very capable electromagnetic transmitter and receiver. The cell membranes of your body actually function like a liquid crystal, changing state with stimuli, just like a computer, but with the power of an interdimensional transceiver. Your body is also capable of receiving energy from multiple dimensions, especially through the heart area. It is an even more prolific transmitter, whether you are aware of it or not. You can send energy across the universe as the singularity contains no distance at all, instantaneously. The intention of a human being is sent out whether it is intended or not. Now, lest that not make sense, we want to clarify. You will send out positive or negative energy at all times, even after death. You can send out this energy reflexively, just like the knee struck with the rubber mallet, or you can change the form and frequency of that energy with your intention. You can be acted upon by the energies in the universe, or you can act upon the universe. The choice is yours. You have almost all the tools. Here is the final tool you will need to take conscious control of this subconscious process. Using these breaths and this process, you will be able to change the course of your life, your family, your community, and the planet. Our hope is that enough of you can be enabled and trained so that the average reality of the universe is shifted away from the conditions we inherited from you in the year 2015. Subtitle, The 18th Breath, The Key to Manifestation. This realm of concentration will become your most powerful and peaceful place for manifestation and reflection. The state of body that works best is the one between sleep and wakefulness. It's called hypnagogia. It takes a little practice to master this, but it won't take 40 years in a Tibetan monastery to get great results. Most of the Merkaba meditation instructors talk about the 18th breath, but they do not teach it. It is an individual thing. However, there are some common attributes to this meditation while you are in the heart that I can impart to you. They work. They are extremely useful in helping you conquer the three-dimensional hold on your spirit. So here we go. The 18th breath can be done anytime you need to concentrate, but we recommend it after you have completed the first 17 breaths and activated your Merkaba tetrahedrons to the speed of light in the 21-34 ratio. Remember, the 34 is the female ratio. It is important because the female is a creative energy, and you want this net ratio to be creative, not destructive. Use caution when initiating this form of breathing. Do not drive or operate equipment while breathing in this manner. Do not do this while lying in the hot tub, as you may run the risk of drowning. Using this breathing technique will disconnect your spirit from your body and may initiate an out-of-body experience within minutes. You may experience a buzzing sound or a sudden phase shift that feels awkward at first. It will place you into a controlled state of hypnagogia. It is highly likely that you will experience an OBE if you perform this properly. Precise timing of the breaths is the key to stabilizing the field we want you to create, although the depth of the breath can be adjusted to avoid hyperventilation or hypoventilation. Try to get as close to 3 seconds for each step changes as possible. The closer you get to 3 seconds for each breathing action, the more effective your energy transfer will become to and from the universe, because the magnetic field you are creating under the pineal gland will be tuned to the right level. In fact, the pineal gland will become trained to trigger DMT and serotonins within minutes of starting to breathe in this manner. So make sure you are not in a position to fall down and hurt yourself. If you do this lying down, you will most likely fall asleep. I recommend a chair or a large floor pillow to sit on in a comfortable position. Crossing the legs might be comfortable for some and help support the hands in the nested position, but sitting in a chair with a pillow in your lap to support your hands will work just fine. While your hands are in the mudra assumed at the 14th breath, one hand nested inside the other with the thumbs touching, I want you to change your breathing pattern. Remember, the energy body of humans for males is different than that of females. The body tetrahedrons are oriented different and the mudras are different. The male cups his left hand face up in his right hand, the female cups her right hand face up in her left hand. This is a 12-second cycle made of 4 3-second breathing actions. It's easy to do, but to do it perfectly over a period of time like 15 minutes will take practice. Balancing in hypnagogia is a little like trying to ride a unicycle. Some make it look easy, but it does take a little practice. Follow this procedure. Subtitle: Method for the 18th Breath. Place the tongue lightly against the roof of the mouth. This does two things. First, it completes a circuit between the tongue and the sixth chakra behind the eyes. Second, it will act like a one-way air valve for the airflow that requires very little effort. When inhaling, let the air come in through the nose. When exhaling, let the air out through the mouth. This one-way movement of air establishes an electrical field just below the pineal gland. This is a 12-second cycle made of 4 3-second breathing actions. The timing is important, even though the size of the actual breath may vary to meet your needs for oxygen. As the need subsides, you will relax even further. The breathing will be shallow, but maintain the timing. This act of control is called conscious breathing. Timing the breaths can be tricky, so I utilize my index finger against the back of my hand that is in the mudra from the 14th breath shown in the figure in the book, depending if you're male or female. Tap the finger gently against the hand to make the timing easier, like a metronome. Step 1. Take a 3-second breath through the nose. The depth of this breath will vary depending on your blood oxygen content. That is to say, some people will need to start with deep breaths to feel like they're getting enough air. As you progress into the depths of this meditation, the breaths will naturally become very shallow for the 3 seconds. Step 2. Hold this breath at the peak of the inhale for 3 seconds while keeping your throat open. Don't close the valve in your throat. It is like preparing to blow a candle out, but you do not inhale or exhale for these 3 seconds. Hold the inhale for 3 seconds only. Step 3. Exhale for 3 seconds through the mouth. Make the breath even all the way through. Do not try to blow out quickly and then taper off the breath. Make it smooth and even all the way to the end, taking the full 3 seconds to completely exhale. Keep the lips slightly parted and use the tongue against the roof of the mouth like a sort of one-way valve. This will accomplish two things. First, it takes no effort or thought to control the way you inhale or exhale. Second, it connects the tongue to the chakra behind the eyes. Many masters have told us that this circuit connection is important for the energy vortex to form beneath the pineal gland properly. Step 4. Hold the exhalation with the lungs completely empty for 3 seconds while keeping the throat open. Do not close your throat. It is as though you are about to take a deep breath, but you hold yourself at the peak of emptiness instead. This is a very low energy physical state, and it can be mastered to operate while you are nearly unconscious. This is known as the release. It is the most powerful action for setting the pure thought adrift in the vacuum of space. It is also where most people report hearing the buzzing sound or the pulse of energy coming back from the universe. It is the place of epiphany. It is when you are the most quiet and thus able to receive the minutest truth from the universe. This ends the 12-second cycle. Repeat this for as long as you feel necessary. There is an amazing physical transformation you will realize in just a few breaths. Your physical body begins to separate from your spirit body. You will feel the disconnection almost immediately, and with a little practice you may be able to easily travel to distant places and times. It will take some discipline to control the wandering, because you have some work to do here. The object is to not empty the mind, but to find the energy that resonates with your intention. At first, it may feel like looking for a needle in a haystack, but with only a small amount of practice, you will be able to draw it to you. Shepherds in ancient times used to drive their sheep into a high-walled canyon or dry riverbed to protect them from wolves while the shepherd went to town to do business. One or two shepherds could guard many flocks of sheep on a sort of rotation shift. When the shepherd returned, he could simply call his sheep, and only his sheep would respond to his voice. Jesus used this very parable in teaching his followers, saying, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You really don't want to drift into sleep and lose control of your conscious breathing. I highly recommend learning to tap your fingers together lightly as a sort of metronome. Most people start out using their heartbeat as the rhythm, but the heartbeat very soon slows down, so much that they lose the timing. I do not recommend using music as the metronome. This will distract you from the smaller energies you may sense from the universe. Most people will lose track of their breathing and revert to autonomic breathing because they slip into moments of unconsciousness. Whole minutes may transpire without breathing until the person crosses back into consciousness and realizes he has lost control of the breathing technique. That's all right. You'll get better and better at this breathing cycle. This conscious breathing technique will work, and it is easy to master. Let me stress again that whatever you do, never try this breathing technique while operating any equipment or driving a car. Your bodies will separate, and you will be able to freely move between them. You will be out of touch with your physical body for up to 15 minutes at a time. But even 1 second of inattention can result in an accident. Your blood pressure will drop, as will your heart rate, so make sure you can't fall out of a chair and hurt yourself. This is a tremendous support for you just before you go into a meeting, or to take an exam, or to begin studying a complex concept you must memorize. It is awesome for problem solving and handling difficult situations, because the ability to travel to the future and look back at the challenge you're about to face really makes it easier to handle. You can look back from the future and say, hey, that wasn't so bad. You know the old saying, hindsight is 20/20? Well, using this technique of breathing, you can get to have hindsight before the event happens in the physical world. You get to select the optimum response for those challenges. You may even be able to break that cycle of anger you have been trying your whole life to stop. You may pick up on the optimum chance for a romantic gesture ahead of time. If anyone is critical of your newfound practice, tell them to study theoretical physics. Remember, whales do not breathe autonomically. They only breathe consciously. As I mentioned before, whales have been observed by marine biologists such as Jonathan Stern to achieve deep states of meditation, toning deeply with their heads pointing down toward the ocean floor. This sound level can reach 170 decibels, the intensity of a jet engine, while the whales are in these states of apparent meditation. The songs can be complex, lasting around 30 minutes, and are often repeated several times in a row. Immersed in the same water, the meditative tones vibrated through the human body at the same time. The experience is reportedly quite heavenly. You will experience this many times inside your heart while performing the 18th breath. Your awareness will be heightened to areas of extreme sensitivity, even lucidity, during meditation using this breathing technique. Your placement in time will appear inconsequential, and thus your ability to alter the effects past events have had on your life in the moment they actually occurred. In other words, you will actually be able to change the way you are affected in real time as though you were reliving the event again, this time with the knowledge you now possess from the future. When a human being expresses himself with power, whether he intends it or not, that expression sends out a karma wave that is very similar to the photon of light we discussed earlier, instantly across the universe. It can freely pass through time, forward or backward, as both directions are equally accessible to energy. Remember, when you access a period, it will be affected by your presence and observation. Be mindful of the energy you take to these places. This technique can be used for good or ill, but generally the effects are self-correcting. Dark thoughts will not resonate with the universe very well, unless the sentient being chooses to exist in that area where those thoughts will resonate. Likewise, bliss and melancholy will also be self-correcting. Joy and gratitude are the best energies to perpetrate. It may sympathetically resonate with anyone or anything that is nearby or distant, present or past, that is receptive to that vibration. This means that from an energetic point of view, human beings can be like a bull in a china shop. We can display nearly unlimited power in an environment that might contain very delicate and expensive things and people. Whether we intend to or not, we may crash around, destroying everything in our path. We may throw a tantrum if things are not going our way, having unwittingly caused the very conditions that are upsetting the world. Reflecting energies perpetrated upon you will most assuredly set up repeating cycles of failure in your life. We may also offer mercy and gratitude to our enemies, which can influence their treatment of you or your concerns. This also adds no energy for resonation of the failure or defeat that seems to follow you when you do add energy and dwell upon those things. Talking about it, or repeating it to your friends or coworkers will create a behemoth of failure that will follow you down the frozen food section at the grocery and into the pew at church and into your bed at night. As we have discussed earlier, 100% of your life is the result of your choices and your energy. As we have mentioned earlier, all matter and all beings are conscious. Most every being is simply not conscious that it is conscious. Also, as we have mentioned earlier, the feedback from the universe will come to you based on your intention. You were not given the toolbox to be able to know when it is coming and how many steps you must take to allow your action on the universe to resonate with you. Remember, it takes 8 iterations, so don't give up after the first 3 failures. Thousands of people we have interviewed have life books full of failure and disappointment from 3-page track records. They send out their dream intention and then walk through only 3 or 4 doors before giving up. This is the most important thing to remember when manifesting the future. When the universe sends a resonation event to you, you must act immediately. Swinging the bat a second too late doesn't do anything but stir up the dust. Remember the plates of metal that were drawn into place ahead of Magneto as he walked down the chasm in the movie X-Men? Remember playing the game of tetherball? Remember losing your job and thinking the world was coming to an end only to find an even better job a few weeks later? When a door closes, a window opens, but only for a moment. If you don't hear the window open because your mind was too noisy, or you stood there enjoying the view through the opening and didn't jump through, the resonation cycle may end. If you were standing out on the street, looking up at the sky and cursing God, you will not hear the momentary opportunity open for you. You will lose the energy building from each tiny effort toward your dream. As each karma wave yield arrives, you must be listening and ready to add your precisely measured energy to the wave, so it will gain strength through constructive interference. Do so with calm and faith, because after all, you are the Creator, you are God, you are Lord. You and you alone are your judge. You cannot and have never been separated from Source. If you are aimless or cursing God because you have not immediately received your desire in full, then you will not be capable of adding energy to the wave as it comes by. This lack of resonant energy from you almost always results in the wave dying out and never coming back. When you reach the 8th iteration, you must be very careful to listen closely to the universe. Pay close attention to your energy output. If you are negative, cynical, or fearful, you will block the blessings coming to you from the resonance with your dream. If you force your own future threads into existence, then you block the universe from resonating with your dream, much like a capo added to the neck of a guitar. All the pitches have changed, like flowers coming from rain and sunshine, and may sound nothing like the composition you imagined. The best place to do this listening is in your heart, while performing the 18th breath process. When you are quiet, you can hear the universe. When the next step comes along, you will be perfectly fitted to hear it, and you will be ready to step forward on it like a freshly formed stepping stone. Through listening and synchronicity, you will move irreversibly toward your dream through the process of constructive interference. Even the best masters teach endurance. Every single sport is won in the last few moments. The team that walks away from the 8th inning or the 3rd quarter or the penultimate play loses. Remember this very carefully. You are not competing against anyone except yourself. You are trying to become what you want to be. You are trying to do what you want to do. For good or ill, it will be so. Above all, keep in mind that it does not matter how much you are loved. It only matters how much you love others. Praying for the destruction of your enemies only lowers your own frequency. This is a self-checking system. Building darkness and fear will not resonate with light and will result in only darkness and fear. Praying that the hearts of your enemies will be softened and that they will receive peace and become comfortable in the light will raise you up and send vibrations that only resonate with light. If the darkness is not constructively altered by the observation of that light, then it will dissolve like a single hand clap on a deserted beach. You carry the DNA of all beings in the entire universe inside of you. Your body is made of matter that is inextricably entangled with the earth, the universe, and with Source. If you feel further from God today than you did yesterday, who moved? Cherish every leaf and every wave crashing on the shore. Not many planets have life or liquid water on their surface. Cherish every kiss and every time you give birth. Stare at your children when they are sleeping and never forget their skin and their eyelashes closed softly against their curious eyes. Linger just a moment longer when you embrace someone or make love. See the being within the human. Know that this being is not far from here either. Seek out your soulmates, all of them. If you cannot bring yourself to love them in this lifetime, then touch them and let them know you remember what you once had and that it is among your most treasured memories and that they will always live on in you. Gather at the best places on earth and remember your last world and the things you always wanted to do. If your quest for wealth is preventing you from doing those things or being what you want to be, you now know what to do. Wealth may very well not be the way the universe can deliver your objective to you. If you have manifested wealth as an objective, you have drawn a large future thread of your own for which there is no resonating energy in the universe. Proper dreaming and goal setting are the most challenging of the skills you have learned. Remember to let the bounty of the universe flow to you, and do not draw your own future threads to your dream. The dream will happen if you just let go of the air in your lungs and let the water flow through your fingers. It will return to you with the place for you to stand. So the ball will fall in your glove. The joy of your life will not be in houses, but rather in homes, even if they are borrowed, and you must crash weddings with your children to have a decent meal with punch and ice cream for dessert. The treasures of mortality are not in money or gold, but in the bounty and mercy you offer others.